using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
All right, we have, and this was sent to me by somebody on Twitter, and I'm not really sure how long this is. Well, May the 2nd is when this came out, from SciTech Daily. This is a study that was funded by the NIH, performed by the Salk Institute. Remember that, Jonas Salk? Polio vaccine, all these different things. The Salk researchers show how the spike protein that is being manufactured by your body if you get the mRNA vaccine, the spike protein damages cells. And they confirm that this is primarily a vascular disease. They said the COVID virus that they're looking at, they said this is not so much a respiratory disease as it is a cardiac disease. A vascular disease. And this is not anything new in one sense, because we've known for quite some time that that it interferes with the endothelial cells, it causes myocarditis. These are a lot of the things that we've seen in the VAERS data. We've seen individuals dying of heart attacks. We had a 15-year-old in the VAERS data within this last week who had no health issues whatsoever. No previous heart issues, but died within 24 to 48 hours of getting the vaccine with a heart attack. And as they were saying, this irritates the vascular system, cardiac issues. The spike protein, of course, latches onto healthy cells. That's what it's there for. And if you recall, Moderna, Pfizer, say the mechanism that we're doing is we're training your body to respond to the spike protein. And so we're going to inject mRNA into your body to make it manufacture the spike protein. But that's okay, because it's just the spike protein. It's not the actual virus itself. So what they did at the Salk Institute to show that this is what it is, they basically created a hollow mechanism that did not have anything other than the spike protein on it. They said what is new is the fact that they have now a detailed explanation of the mechanism by which the protein damages vascular cells. And this is the first time this has been done. Scientists studying other coronaviruses have long suspected the spike protein contributed to damaging vascular endothelial cells, but this is the first time the process has been documented. So in the new study, the researchers created a pseudovirus, they said. It was nothing but something that was, there was nothing there. But it was surrounded by these spike proteins. Just think about that for a moment, how these people can manufacture whatever kind of virus they wish. Right? That right there should give you pause about taking something being put out by DARPA and the military. Anyway, exposure to this pseudovirus resulted in damage to the lungs and to the arteries of an animal model proving that the spike protein alone was enough to cause disease. And what are they injecting into you? They're making your body a manufacturing facility for this very spike protein that damages the lungs and the arteries. Is there any other questions? Are we done here with the science?
Yeah, the science. We got the science.
They do have science on their side. And with all the talk about the biosafety level 4 lab in Wuhan and all the gain of function capabilities, and that stuff is real. They should be shutting that down, but they don't. Isn't that interesting that they don't shut that down? Why is that? Why is it that that's been known since 2014? Why is it that even when Congress got involved and said, all right, you're not going to fund any more of this gain-of-function research because there were so many accidents at these biosafety level 3 and biosafety level 4 labs. There was a long series of articles done by Allison Young at USA Today, got Congress very upset. They said, stop doing it. So what Fauci and Francis Collins did was they stopped it. Oh, no, wait, they didn't stop it. That's right. They continued it at the University of North Carolina. A couple of years later, they released the data. People said, you were not supposed to be doing that anymore. Eh, I don't care. I'll do whatever I want, said Francis Collins. Fauci shoveled money over to China to keep it under the radar. You should be clamoring that they not only stop this lockdown, but they stop this kind of horrific Nazi experiments. But of course, you know, these are the people that will torture dying babies just, you know, for a scientific curiosity, like they did at the University of Pittsburgh. That nexus that I reported on earlier this week between Fauci, University of Pittsburgh, Planned Parenthood, trafficking in body parts with a long history at that University of Joseph Mengele, Nazi science. So you should be concerned about that. But understand that the real issue is not whether or not this magically arose zoonotically, they said, right, out of the wet market, or whether it was, whether it escaped from the lab or was released from the lab. No, the real issue is, the real danger is this vaccine. It's the vaccine. It's the vaccine. The spike protein alone was enough to cause damage, to cause disease. Tissue samples showed inflammation of the endothelial cells lining the pulmonary artery walls. Further studies with a spike protein will also provide new insight towards the infectivity and the severity. Research supported by the National Institute of Health. So, as Moderna said, we can get there quicker, Trump, because we don't have to manufacture the vaccine. What we do is we put in a code, and your body manufactures the vaccine. You're going to see a rapid increase in lung disease and heart attacks. This is one of the reasons why, and they knew this, it's one of the reasons why they started saying last fall, they said, you know, we've got these new strange side effects of COVID-19, heart attack issues, things like that. We've got long COVID that is accelerating now. These were all things to cover for what their vaccine was going to do for people. Oh, it's not the vaccine. It's the long COVID. It's mutant strains out there. Yeah, these people are mutants, all right. Straining at the truth. Straining at gnats and injecting lethal things into your bloodstream. So New York City is pitching for free vaccines for tourists. Why is that an incentive, right? I mean, I understand that he gave the incentive to people, oh, you could go to the opening baseball games of the Mets and the Yankees. If you're vaccinated, you get in for free. And not only that, but we treat you normally. And if you're not, you pay to get in, and we treat you like dirt. Jim Crow, apartheid, all of this stuff, segregation. They have all these different carrots and sticks that they offer, but every state is offering the vaccine for free. Why is that even an incentive? There. They hope to begin offering coronavirus shots to tourists by stationing vaccination vans at Times Square. It's like, meanwhile, Pfizer is angry with the Biden administration over the vaccine patent waivers. Again, this is, we talked about this when there was blunt questioning to Bill Gates about that. Oh, no, no, no. You don't want to get rid of the intellectual property rights. This is a guy who became a billionaire by stealing intellectual property rights for his operating system. Stole it from Digital Research. Then he stole more intellectual property rights from Apple Computer. Got away with both of those. Lawyered up, got away with both of those. As he became, got monopoly power, he beat the rap with the antitrust regulation. Basically what he did was they turned him into an informant for them. Yeah, that's exactly what he became. Microsoft has been at the epicenter of collecting your information, turning it over to them, and of applying all of these control tactics. NewsGuard, ElectionGuard, HealthGuard is another one. All of these funded by the dark state, by DARPA and others. DARPA, all of their funding for ElectionGuard, all of it comes from DARPA to Microsoft. And then, of course, there's the CCP initiative. They call it C2P because they don't want you to understand that it really is the Chinese Communist Party's idea. And that's Microsoft at the center of that. Going to hardware manufacturers, going to software providers, anybody that creates content, whether it is memes, graphics, whether it's audio, video, any of that kind of content, going to Adobe and these other companies, going to Intel, to ARM, the people who are creating the hardware processors, to create an ID, to attach an ID to everything that you create so that they can track it back to you. And that's Microsoft at the center of that. And they're also pulling in some of the biggest propagandists, New York Times, BBC, into that initiative. So Bill Gates, who became the world's richest man by stealing intellectual property rights, it's a Chinese model, isn't it? I mean, that's the key thing about the Chinese. It's a big part of the China price. Slave labor, theft of intellectual property, currency manipulation, that's the big issues right there, as well as tariffs. So anyway, they asked Bill Gates about, oh, no, 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 we don't want to get rid of intellectual property rights. And now the Biden administration is talking about doing just that. And so Pfizer is hopping mad about this. Hitting out at the Biden administration over vaccine patent waivers. And you have, I think it's very interesting because you see how Trump was played, right? He thought he was allying himself with the big pharmaceutical companies with Fauci. All right, yeah, I'll give you guys everything. I don't want to tackle this narrative about the virus. I don't want to tackle that head on. But yeah, if we could speed up that vaccine production, and I'll give you all the money in the world to do that so we can get society back to normal before the election, I could win the election. All right, whatever you want. And then when he made that Faucian bargain, just as always happens, they didn't hold up to their end. And so now Big Pharma, who also made this Faucian bargain, we can make tens of billions of dollars if we can inject a spike protein that kills people, and we'll make that bargain with the devil. I don't care what happens to people. Let's do it. I want to make money. So they make that deal, and now Biden comes along, and the devil pulls back his side of the bargain on that. Oh, you thought you're going to make money from this? Well, they probably will make money. They've already made a lot of money, but they're not happy because they always want more money, just like David Rockefeller. You know, they said, how much money is enough? They're always just a little bit more. You never are satisfied when you love money and power, are you? And they had the Duke and Duchess of Suckup got involved in this. They penned a letter to the vaccine makers calling on them to suspend the patent protections and make it public domain, the open vaccine idea. You know, that was Meghan Markle and the celebrity formerly known as Prince. And that was really the thing that kicked it over to them, right? I mean, that you've got the celebrity formerly known as Prince, and you have the Biden administration, and it's kind of fun to see Pfizer and Gates twisting in the wind now, betrayed by the people that they made bargains with, just like Trump was betrayed. But you know who's really betrayed? You and I. They're all playing their Games of Thrones while they're injecting spike proteins into us, causing our body to manufacture the spike proteins, which then causes vascular damage, lung damage, heart damage, kills us. Yeah, they play their games, and we die. Tucker Carlson, as WND pointed out, this is on Wednesday night. I didn't see this yesterday. Tucker Carlson poked the hornet's nest by spotlighting the vaccine deaths. And that's a good way to put it, the way WND put it. He didn't really grab a baseball bat and hit the hornet's nest. He didn't spray it with a pesticide to kill it. He just kind of poked it a little bit. I'm glad he's poking it. But, you know, Tucker doesn't need their money. Tucker had set up Daily Caller. He's by far and away the most popular host anywhere. He doesn't need to be selling death. He really doesn't. And I think he understands, as this stuff is coming out, the evidence is overwhelming that people are going to catch on. We're going to find out. You and I know. But the general public is catching on to the fact that this is a vaccine to kill people. And once they realize that, they're going to be coming for everybody that was a part of this. And so he's jumping a little bit, got one foot off of the ship. Tucker Carlson prompted a sharp reaction from critics Wednesday night when he addressed the issue of how many people have died from receiving a COVID-19 vaccine. He said, "I'm completely in favor of vulnerable people taking the vaccine." See, that's why I said he's poking it a little bit. "I'm not going to come out here," he says, and say that this is bad. Doing the same thing that Rogan did, Joe Rogan. "Well, I love vaccines, and I think people who are elderly ought to get them because, you know, we need to cut down on the Social Security issue. We got a lot of people who are hitting Social Security age, the baby boomers. Most of them are already collecting that. That's another bankrupt thing. We got to get rid of those. Let's give it to the vulnerable people here. Is it a euthanasia program?" But, you know, we have to kowtow to the vaccine industry. We have to pretend that this stuff is generally safe and effective. But in this particular case, they just rushed it a little bit too quickly. What was that called? Oh, yeah, warp speed. Warp speed. I'm completely in favor, he said, of vulnerable people taking the vaccine. But he argued that the vast majority of the population with a survival rate of more than 99% should have as much information as possible to make a risk assessment. In a typical flu season, more than 160 million Americans are vaccinated and only a small number die after receiving a shot. In 2019, it was 203 people. In 2018, it was 119. And he said, "Every death is tragic, but big picture, we don't consider those numbers to be disqualifying. We keep giving flu shots, and very few people complain about it." Except for me. VAERS is managed by the CDC and the FDA, he noted, and it has received a lot of criticism over the years, some of it founded. Some of it founded? Are you kidding me? These people are merchants of death, like your sponsors, Tucker, at Fox News. He cited a report submitted to the Department of Health and Human Services in 2010, concluding that fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse effects are reported. So, Department of Health and Human Services, a branch of the U.S. government, and we're supposed to believe everything the authorities tell us, except we're not supposed to believe that only 1% of the cases are reported in the VAERS system. Because if that were the case, instead of 3,362 people, it would be 33,600 people dead. Because they're injecting them with a spike protein that kills them. He said, "But it's clear what is happening now, for whatever reason, it's not even close to normal. It's not even close to what we've seen in previous years or with previous vaccines." After he put that up, Andrew Ostom, MD, said, "Tucker is right about this. And he came up with numbers that are even worse than the ones that I've been giving you." Remember I said there were more people in the first 3 months, and they weren't really vaccinating people in quantity at the beginning of January. But more people in the first 3 months died than the previous 11 years combined. So if that's just one quarter of the year, so that's 44 times the death rate that was in the VAERS events. And this doctor, Dr. Bostom, said that the COVID vaccines are 23 times more likely to be associated with hospitalization, but 119 times more likely to be associated with death, because he is adjusting that for age, I think, is what he's doing in his statistics. Carlson also pointed out that only one death in the U.S. is associated with a Menveo vaccine and to help to prevent bacterial meningitis. But he said in just the first 4 months of the year, the U.S. government has recorded more deaths after COVID vaccines than from all the other vaccines administered between mid-1997 and the end of 2013. Well, that's interesting, because then they took a, in that case, they took a 16-year, 17-year period. I guess you'd include the endpoint years. So that's another way to look at it. More than, but, you know, he's not talking about the previous 11 years and all of them combined. Carlson said he spoke to a physician on Wednesday who treats COVID patients, and he said, what we're seeing now is the single deadliest mass vaccination event in modern history. Whatever is causing it is happening as we speak. So you'd think someone in authority might want to know what's going on. Well, they do know. They do know, Tucker. The NIH knew this. They funded the research at the Salk Institute. And they've known about this for a long time. Is it Fauci knew? His NIH knew? Back with the swine flu back in 2007, 2008, they knew that hydroxychloroquine was very effective as a therapeutic. They still pushed ahead with their vaccine that he collaborated with Moncef Slaoui to get out there. They were very upset that they only had about 25% of the people take it. And nevertheless, it was the best documented case we had before now of vaccine adverse effects. Tucker went on to say, some people just don't want the vaccine, and that's their right, period. Not all of them are crazy. None of them are crazy if they don't want to. The people who are crazy are the people who would take an untested vaccine, an untested therapeutic. I wouldn't take a therapeutic if they had not done any tests on it. Health decisions used to be considered personal choices, said Tucker. We didn't ask about them. They were considered to be personal as recently as last fall. Last September, during the presidential campaign, a CNN reporter asked Kamala Harris whether she would be willing to take the coronavirus once it became available. She said, well, I think it's going to be an issue for all of us. I'll say that I would not trust Donald Trump. A month later, at the vice presidential debate, she was even more emphatic. If Donald Trump tells us we should take it, I'm not going to take it. Well, he told you to take it, so you still took it, didn't you? At least you say you did. I don't know. Why should we? As a matter of fact, that's where I am at. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's Trump or if it's Kamala Harris or if it's Biden. I don't care if it's the bureaucrat at the small town hall. If they tell me I've got to take something, that's when I say, I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to allow that precedent to be set. That is one of the most dangerous things. This is Jonestown-level cult, folks, injecting the Kool-Aid into your arms. Why? Because CNN and the media said so. Tucker also said, private industry and nonprofits may be forcing you to take the vaccine. Oh, really? Oh, figured that out now. I'm glad he's saying this stuff. But, you know, just like the WND story, they criticize Kamala Harris. Did you notice that? Well, look at this. Look at the hypocrisy of Kamala Harris saying that, I don't know that I would take it if Trump was pushing it. I definitely know I wouldn't take it if Trump said I need to get it. So they make it about party. But they won't criticize Trump who did it. It's the Trump vaccine, Tucker. It's the Trump vaccine, WND. Why can't you say that? Why can't you say that it's the Trump vaccine? Well, we'll talk about that coming up. Very interesting what's happening, this Game of Thrones that is happening over Liz Cheney. They're ready to put in somebody who is very, very, very liberal in her place. A lot more liberal than Liz Cheney, even though, you know, according to her voting record. It's all about loyalty to Trump. Everything anymore is about loyalty to Trump. I'm disgusted with it. I was disgusted with it before 2020 happened. And then with 2020, that was it for me. You know, I could always say whatever I wanted to say up to that point. And I did continue to say whatever I wanted to say up to the point I was fired. But I just could not leave these people alone. I had to attack them by name. And I have people say, you're so bitter with Alex. And I said, look, I will criticize Tucker. I will criticize Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, any of these people who are trying to sell you this stuff. They are shaping public opinion. They're influencers. They're not over here on the side. This is not a country club. It's not, well, they're on our side. Why? Why? Why are they on our side? Because they're pandering to Trump? Because they are connected to the Republican Party? That's not a side. I'm not on the side of the Republican Party. I'm not on the side of Trump. I'm on the side of liberty and the Constitution and of Christian morality. That's what I'm on the side of. And if the GOP goes off the rail, if Fox News goes off the rails, Newsmax, InfoWars, Breitbart, any of these people, I will agree with them when I agree with them, and I'll say that. But I'm going to disagree with them, and I'm going to continue to do that. So, you know, if you want to call that bitter, it's just the truth. It's the unvarnished truth. And I don't really care who gets hurt with it, because you know what happens when we lie? People are dying because we covered up. We said it was 4D chess. We held back, or we pushed the panic that this is some bioengineered thing from the Chinese. Yeah, it was engineered, all right. In every way except that. Every way except that. So Tucker says, just because there's no official federal requirement to take the corona vaccine doesn't mean that you and your family won't be required to take it. With the full backing of the Biden administration, private industry and nonprofits will be forcing you. Yeah, well, you know, I went back last night when I saw this. And I said, you know, I've been talking about this from the very beginning. I said, at the very beginning of this, the New England Journal of Medicine, actually, do you have the video, do you have the still of this that I sent you, Travis, a screenshot? New England Journal of Medicine. Pull that up, because this got some attention October the 1st. October the 1st, people started pushing this around alternative media, this report. And I just took a screenshot of the one page that has the date that says this article was originally published June 26, 2020. And that's when I started talking about it. Now, at that point, we were 3 months into the lockdown, and they were already talking about what Tucker has just discovered here. The fact that they're not going to do this by federal mandate. They're going to do it by private companies. And it says, you know, yeah, we should use private individuals. However, fines and disadvantages to the poor and criminal penalties invite legal challenges on procedural due process grounds, and that would be bad. So what they were saying at the time was, we're going to force you to take it, but we're going to do it through the private sector. We don't want to have due process challenges. And that was back in June, 3 months into this. 4 months later, they put it back out, October the 1st. And then at that point, a lot of the people who had been cheering the lockdown and were still cheering the lockdown in June, Mike Adams, for example, picked it up and put a snappy headline on it, and it went around, and people saw it back in October. Now, October was, that was the beginning of October. So we had 7 months ago. Now Tucker is talking about the fact that it's going to be done through private companies. They're going to mandate the vaccine. Because it's been going on. They've actually been doing it for months. I mean, they were talking about how they were going to do it back in June at the very beginning of this. They didn't even have a vaccine yet, and they're talking about how they could coerce it through the private sector. They said social distancing orders will spark intense clashes of feeling about what people owe to one another and the fight against the pandemic. Hear that? How they were going to pit people against each other. They knew that. They were going to do it with social distancing. Why didn't they say anything about masks? Because this was done so early 3 months after it. Masks still were not even a thing at that point in time. Remember, we went for a while before they started doing the masks. And that got Mike Adams very upset. Because they should be pushing the mask. We got to have the mask. If we don't get the mask, if they don't start telling people to wear masks, we're going to wind up getting the vaccine. And you don't want the vaccine. Well, he's right about that. But what he didn't understand was that the masks were placeholders. Placeholders for the vaccine. The whole idea, training people. My mask doesn't protect me. Your mask protects me. So therefore, she's a witch. She's made of wood, as Monty Python would say, right? So therefore, my vaccine doesn't protect me. Your vaccine protects me, which is the argument for mandating MMR vaccines for the longest period of time. As a matter of fact, back on December 11th, I had up on roundtablereport.com, we've not posted any articles there for a while. We've just been too busy with the other stuff that we have to do, and I wanted to try to interact with people as much as I could. It's difficult to do the news, to interact with people. It bothers me a great deal when people support us, and I don't get back to thank them, and I apologize time it takes me to get back. I still will be getting there eventually. But I haven't written any articles, but I wrote this back on December 11th. When and how vaccines will be mandated. I said, first will be the people who take it to get their jobs, the heroes. They'll be the guinea pigs, the first responders, the doctors, the nurses, the military. No matter what happens, you won't hear about the problems. If it gets really egregious and somebody complains enough, they'll dismiss it as an isolated case. Predictable enough. We already saw that when a lot of people immediately had problems on V-Day in the UK, Pfizer dismissed those. Since the vaccine was already tested and the test group didn't have any more issues than the placebo group, they said. Well, do you know what the placebo was in that Pfizer test? It was a meningitis vaccine. Why would they do that? You know, not a saline solution. It's meningitis vaccine. Well, because if people have adverse reactions, they can say it's no worse than the placebo group. I said, then by the second or third quarter, they'll say, I know you didn't trust us when we started rolling this out with only 2 months of testing, but now we've done this now for 6 months. And we have a whole 8 months of testing now, and you aren't going to go anywhere unless you get the vaccine. And I think that they're going to get impatient if they can't roll this out through the private corporations and through the pressure that they put on people. I think they will mandate it. So to have another prediction of how they will mandate it, whether Biden or Trump, they'll mandate it through the employers. There'll be some jurisdictions where the eager Democrats will jump the gun and mandate it. They'll do that to test the water to see if they can get away with it. And if the people don't fight on them, they'll start to mandate it more broadly, and especially through the schools. Trump was fine doing that for measles. So what do you think he would say for COVID? Because remember, even though this is December the 11th, everybody was still saying, well, you know, he's still president and he's going to remain president. Oh, really? That's going to be? I said, the New England Journal of Medicine has been saying that from the beginning, June of 2020. They'll make sure the corporations are the ones saying that you can't travel, saying that you can't shop, that you can't work, that you can't have a life. Even if there are small businesses that are still alive, they'll be blackmailed by the threat of lawsuits. Guess who'll have the legal problems when there's a lot of issues? It's not going to be the pharmaceutical companies. It's not going to be the government. It will be the small businesses who did not mandate it for their employees. They'll be the ones who get sued. And they'll be the ones who have their stimulus check, their welfare check, held up. And we have now a new wristband that serves as a wearable vaccine card. Do you remember that? The goat tree was the one who helped me. I mentioned that he told me now because he's already gotten in trouble for putting that information out. But he told me a couple of weeks before we had the lockdown. This green wristband here, you know, that's going to be your ticket out there. Well, now, guys made that. Calls it Immuniban. Costs about $20. It stores your vaccine records on it so that people don't have to haul around their vaccine cards. The bracelet comes in the mail with a QR code on it. And what you do is you map the QR code to your vaccine records. The guy who developed it, Dr. Burnton, sold his first bracelet about 3 weeks ago. Thousands of them have now gone out the door. In fact, he said one customer sent him a photo from a Knicks game at Madison Square Garden. He said the policy at Madison Square Garden says guests can now enter with proof of a negative COVID-19 test or full vaccination. He says a lot of companies in the travel and hospitality industry are buying the bracelets for their employees. How's that for slave labor, right? First, they've masked these poor people for the last year, if they even have a job. They got to wear a mask all day. OSHA did not allow that, would not allow that in the past. Including a restaurant owner in L.A. One woman says, well, this is really a little bit too much. Sometimes you go to a restaurant, you don't even know the waiter's name. I don't need to know their medical history. That's right. It's none of your business to know people's medical history. The U.S. is rolling out carrots, says CNN. They keep having that Planned Parenthood former CEO, Leanna Wen, on talking carrot, carrot, carrot. And they love this. U.S. is rolling out carrots. What's up, Doc? The incentives, known as carrots, just in case you don't understand. This is CNN audience, right? So the CNN audience may not understand the carrot and stick analogy. So just in case, they define it for you, because that's who they're talking to. A lot of carrots, incentives. You know, you can get NFL has offered 50 Super Bowl tickets to fans who share their stories of why they want to get vaccinated. Let's boost up the propaganda. New York teams like the Mets and Yankees, free tickets, as I mentioned. Chicago, a monthly concert series held exclusively for fully vaccinated residents. Rowan University in New Jersey offering full-time students a $500 credit toward their courses and another $500 towards housing. But I mentioned this just briefly the other day. I think I did it on the radio broadcast and not on the podcast here. Days ago, the city of Lancaster, California, a big bounty there, $10,000 if you're 16 to 18 and you get the vaccine. Well, that's to one person. They're going to put it in a raffle, which I think is appropriate. It's a perfect picture of what this vaccine is about. It is like a raffle. It's actually more like Russian roulette. And so, you know, you put the mRNA spike-generating stuff into your arm, and you never know, is it going to damage your lung tissue, your heart, like the Salk Institute says? How they showed that it is absolutely the spike protein itself. So, you know, you put it in there, and you hope, you roll the dice, that it isn't going to kill you or cripple you in the future. And then after you play that game, you can spin the wheel and you can put your name in the hat to win $10,000, but there's a catch. It's just a scholarship. It's like that other jurisdiction where they gave somebody $1,000. You know, if you put it in there, a raffle to win, one person could win a $1,000 savings bond, which if you cash it, it's probably, you know, worth $50 now. Or you can wait 20 years. And I don't know what. That's a sucker investment if ever there was one. But, so you can get a $10,000 scholarship, one person. Then one person gets a second prize of a $5,000 scholarship. Third prize is a $50 gift card. Yeah, set against these steak knives. It's just crazy. Iowa is passing a bill to curtail vaccine passports. They just did it. On Wednesday, the Senate passed it. Local governments and businesses would be denied state contracts and grants if they require residents to prove that they've been vaccinated. So they can't really, I guess, is what they're saying. I think they can. I think they should. I think they should do it under the Public Accommodations Act, the same things that they did to companies like Walgreens. Remember, Walgreens was saying, no, black people, you got to sit at the end of the counter. Or the buses would say, you sit at the back of the bus. And I think if people are doing things like that in public accommodations, that ought to they ought to do something about that. You should treat people the same when they come in public accommodations. I mean, look at how many times we've had that argued on the basis of race. Look at the lawsuit against the baker saying, well, you have to sell me the cake. And he said, no, I sell cakes to anybody that walks in here. Anything that you want to buy off the shelf, I don't tell people that you can't buy that. But if you want me to custom make something that violates my religious freedom, that's what I have an issue with. And that was supported at the Supreme Court. And so they should be able to require that, but they don't. Instead, what they're going to say is that if you have state contracts, if you're being paid contracts and grants from the state, we are not going to allow you to require vaccine passports. It's something. It's not much. Basically, along party lines, you had two Democrats who voted in favor of it, but one Republican voted against it, but it passed 32-16 in Iowa. Majority of those who say that they have not been vaccinated say they will not change their mind. This is from Breitbart. They said a survey taken May the 1st through the 4th, 1,500 U.S. adults. They asked those who do not plan on getting vaccinated if there is anything that could change their mind and convince them to get vaccinated. 79% said no. Our mind is made up. My task here is to increase that number, indicating they're firm in their decision. 16% said they are not sure, followed by 5% who said yes. I could change my mind. Fauci, as Breitbart fortunately points out, I'm glad they did, is continually moving the goalposts of herd immunity to get the number over 80%. They point out, he said in a New York Times article, people getting confused here. They're thinking you're never going to get the infections down until you reach this mystical level of herd immunity, whatever that number is. He actually said that, whatever that number is. He's been throwing numbers out like Federal Reserve notes for over a year about what herd immunity has to be before they even had a vaccine. Well, I'm assuming that the vaccine is going to be like 70% effective. And so we're going to have this many people take it or whatever, right? It says, but that's why I stopped using herd immunity in the classic sense. In the classic sense. What does that mean? He's a classic herd immunist. I'm saying forget about it for a second here. You vaccinate enough people, the infection's going to go down. Yeah, enjoy your summer camp. Exactly. We're going to talk about something else that happened on Fox News. I'm glad that Tucker is saying that. And I understand that that's probably a difficult thing for him to do, to kick against the goads. But he's got a lot of influence. And, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, said Spider-Man's uncle. If you're going to be influencing people, you better do your homework and you better tell them the truth, because people's lives are at stake and you don't pull any punches. We'll be right back. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com. right, I want to begin with Trevor Noah, this guy who was brought in to ostensibly be a comedian, but he's just a foreigner who came in to propagandize us, like John Oliver. But it appears that Trevor Noah now knows something. We should call him Trevor Noah. And I'll let this speak for itself. Listen to what he had to say in a rant about vaccines.
The really frustrating thing about this chart is that they've spent 5 months telling us to get vaccinated. Oh, get vaccinated, and this will all be over. Get vaccinated. And I was like, great, I'll get all the 4 vaccines if it means I'll get my life back. But now they're putting out a chart, and it says even if you get vaccinated, you can only do 2 more things without a mask on? 2? Guys, what the hell? The shit you're saying to people is incoherent. You're telling us these new vaccines are 95% effective and will stop coronavirus, but we still can't do anything without a mask on anyway. Which is it? Is this one of the most effective vaccines in the history of the world, or does it not work? It's not clear messaging, especially if you're desperately trying to convince people to get the vaccine. Can you imagine if every time you ordered an Uber, oh, your Uber's coming in 5 minutes, but maybe also get a Lyft, you know, just in case.
Well, it isn't the most effective vaccine in the history of the world, even though they try to present it that way. It is the most dangerous vaccine in the history of the world, these vaccines are. We have the data to prove it from the government itself. But he has, just in case you understand where he's coming from, he has also suggested that media outlets should not report on these side effects of these shots. That the media loves running around with stories of a few people who've had adverse reactions to the vaccine. Oh, man, got a vaccine. Now his foot is sore. Oh, a woman got a vaccine. Now she forgets it's Thursday. Because even though those cases are a tiny minority, those are stories that people want to hear the most, right? Didn't they do that with COVID? I remember the very beginning of this. Oh, look at this. We've got a 15-year-old guy in Spain. He was a soccer player. He's a teacher and all this. And he went into the hospital, and he just died with COVID. And look at how dangerous this is. And then when you read this very long story, buried in the very center of it is one sentence that says they discovered that he had very advanced leukemia when he went into the hospital. Oh, no, it was COVID. Similar vein, no pun intended, Brian Kilmeade says Biden is keeping the nation in a sense of panic on COVID so the Dems can keep spending money. Really? You mean he just now noticed after 320 days how this thing works? He didn't realize all the money that Trump released with his executive order on Friday the 13th, March the 13th? He just now noticed it? Why? Because it's the Democrats. He didn't want to say anything. He's at Fox News. He doesn't want to offend big pharmaceutical companies. Now, though, he can use it against his political enemies. And so now he'll whine about it. The Biden administration, said Brian Kilmeade, wants to keep everyone in a sense of panic. Massive spending bills disguised as rescue packages. What about when Trump did that for $3.7 trillion? The only Republican who spoke out against that, the only one, Thomas Massie. What was Trump's reaction? For all you people who want to say, well, you know, Trump did his best. He was playing 4D chess, but he just got outmaneuvered. You remember when Thomas Massie said, we've never done anything this big. We can't do this. And Trump, as angry as I've ever seen him, shut up. And he says, we're going to get you. We're going to take you out. Your political career is over. You oppose his agenda. His agenda. His agenda to vaccinate everybody, to lock everybody down, to push out a vaccine at warp speed. You oppose that, boy. The claws come out. It was like Bilbo Baggins in The Lord of the Rings as soon as you start to take his little precious. Right? Co-host Steve Ducey read a tweet from South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace referring to the COVID measures in a joint session as virtue signaling. Of course it is. All of this is virtue signaling. All of it is a Game of Thrones. Pelosi has masked Congress, where most of them have been vaccinated. And these people are impotent to do anything about it. An American Thinker, this article also in Zero Hedge. Why masks are still mandatory? I'll dedicate this to Trevor Noah. You can't understand why they still have the masks on, Trevor, even for the people who have taken the vaccine. I mean, those are the people who are the most afraid, so they're going to wear the masks. And that is their angry mob to make the rest of us comply with the masks, with the vaccines. And as American Thinker points out, he wants to continue, Biden does, to convince Americans that they should get the experimental biological agent. And why would they want us to doubt the efficacy of the vaccine, Trevor? Well, think about this scenario that the American Thinker runs through. Let's think about this. You've got a vaccinated test subject, goes to the supermarket, and then right away you have a vigilante mob of leftists who can't wait to accost him and demand compliance because he's not wearing a mask. And within a few minutes, he'll pull out the mask and he'll put it in his, out of his pocket, put it on his face. Within weeks, if they were to shut this thing down, if they were to say, well, the guy, because he's vaccinated, he doesn't have to wear a mask. If they were to do that, you would start having people in that just say, shut up, I'm vaccinated. And within a few weeks, you would have the majority of Americans stop wearing masks. They would stop the social distancing. They would stop the lockdowns. They would not get the vaccines. That's what Leanna Wen is constantly saying. He said, you can't let these people have any freedom yet. You got to leave those sticks there. Keep beating them with the sticks until you can get them to take the vaccine. Now, that's got to be the carrot to let the people out. We need to let some of them enjoy this, but we can't do it too much. People would actually begin to associate non-masking people with safety, while mask-wearing people would signal danger. See that? So they wouldn't know if you were vaccinated, but you know, somebody, here's somebody that doesn't have a mask on. They must be vaccinated. That means that's a safe person. Just the opposite, quite frankly. They're manufacturing the spike protein. That'll kill you, because that's what they were injected to do. They were injected to manufacture the spike protein that'll kill you. The mask mandate is going to remain after the UK coronavirus lockdown ends. They keep saying they're going to end it June the 21st, because they knew that it was all going to be over June the 21st somehow. They knew that back in February when they put it in. They said they're going to stick to that schedule, but they're still going to stick the masks on your face. Meanwhile, a Democrat, Tim Walz in Minnesota, says that politicization of mask wearing is one of the worst things that's happened in this country. He said, I think history is going to write it as one of the worst things that's happened to this country. I think it cost lives. I think it's stupid. It's the least intrusive thing we can do, he said, to push back against the masks. But he goes on to say that he's not going to remove the mandates until 70% of the people are vaccinated, or July 1st. He says even if they don't get to 70% of the people, he's going to stop the masks by July the 1st. There's nothing scientific about this. This is just political dictates from these people. For a good example of this, just take a look at what they're doing with the banning of menthol in cigarettes. And this guy who wrote the article for the American Institute for Economic Research said, so I had a long drive. I let the radio linger on a public broadcasting show. I did that the other day. It was hilarious. But I could understand how these people who, that's what they consume. They are very effective at their propaganda, not in their arguments, but in the unrelenting repetition of the lies. And so he said, on this program, they said, well, the science is now clear. The government must ban the production and sell of menthol cigarettes. This is something, again, it's a good example of why the government can just say, well, I've got a study here, and we're going to ban fill in the blanks. And it was already, you saw Trump do his vaping ban, okay? Where did that come from? That came from the bureaucracy. It came from Scott Gottlieb at the FDA, who left the FDA eventually and then went to work for Pfizer. He's on the board of directors of Pfizer. Now, this demand to vaccinate, to prohibit vaccine, then to prohibit menthol cigarettes, this is all about their relentless push to rule. It's just obsession with these people. Constantly adding more and more regulations. This is why it's not enough to put any kind of legal restrictions around these people. They will always get around that. We have to repeal the FDA. We have to end the FDA, just like we've got to end the Federal Reserve. There's all these different agencies. As long as they're there, they will find a way to do harm. We don't need them. There's no authority for them. And they're constantly doing this. They said they realized that they couldn't go after all tobacco products. So they decided they would go after vaping. They would go after menthol. So they said the one of the people on this public radio station was funded by the Koch brothers. He said the ban was specifically designed to help African Americans because 4 out of 5 African American smokers prefer menthols. You know, it used to be that 4 out of 5 doctors preferred Camel cigarettes, you know, back in the day when I was watching television. I don't know if this is true that African Americans prefer menthol cigarettes, but they say it is. And the other person says, but wait a minute, by that logic, that means that if you're going to ban menthol cigarettes, you're going to then have an excuse to accost, arrest, and convict African Americans for possessing or dealing something that should never have been illegal in the first place, which is what they've been doing for the last 50 years with marijuana. Yeah, I think the blacks and Mexicans use marijuana more than any other group, so we're going to come after them. And that's exactly what they're doing. And it is their unending desire to control everyone's life. I want to quickly, before we get Gerald on, he's coming on at 9 o'clock. Just got a couple of minutes here. I want to talk a little bit about what Sean Hannity did. I didn't even know when I spent a great deal of time yesterday talking about transgender intersectionality and all these different issues. I didn't really know that the night before, Sean Hannity had Bruce Jenner on. And I want to play a little bit of this for you. It's absolutely amazing. I saw this on Twitter and about fell out of my chair.
I am pro-illegal immigration. I want it organized. We really have to...
You're pro-legal immigration.
What's that?
You're pro-legal.
Legal immigration,
yeah.
Yes. Right. Pro-legal immigration. Sorry, did I miss the legal part?
Yeah.
Thanks for catching me. Yeah, you got my back, Sean. I appreciate that.
Oh, I thought, I knew what you were saying.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More with Caitlyn Jenner running for the governorship of the state of California as we continue. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, yeah. It was just pander this and pander that. And it worked for Sean Hannity. He won his time slot, and he came in second to Tucker Carlson overall for the most watched show. So he can sell this Sodom and Gomorrah ethics because that's what Bruce Jenner is selling. He is the poster boy for this stuff. And they want to say, well, look, he's a great Republican. He doesn't even know the Republican talking points. He's absolutely tone deaf. In that article, he said, well, yeah, you know, we got everybody's, you know, leaving California because we got this homeless. You know, the guy that's in the hangar next to me with his private jet, I was there with my private jet. He says, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. He goes, that's how bad it is. You know, the jet set with their private jets are now leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. and yet, this is Sean Hannity. You know, the Republicans have basically sold out their principles in terms of what is happening, trying to replace Liz Cheney. You've got FreedomWorks. You've got a lot of, there's about half a dozen different organizations that are there for limited small government. And they said, wait a minute. This person that's coming in, the only thing that she's got on her side is the fact that she's loyal to Trump. She is against us on every issue. The conservative ratings for her are about 35%. Liz Cheney is no prize, but she's better than that by a significant amount. But the only thing that matters is the loyalty to Trump, the loyalty to party. That's where these people are. They've sold out their principles, and they've sold their soul and the soul of America. And you've got what really amazed me. There was an excellent article by Chris Minahan, informationliberation.com, where he cataloged all of the different responses to this. This is from Kayleigh McEnany, you know, the press secretary for Trump, who loves to talk about what a committed Christian she is. She said, I really enjoyed watching Caitlyn Jenner's interview with Sean Hannity. I found Caitlyn to be well-informed, sincere, laser-focused on undoing the socialist, radical, ascientific policies of Biden and the left. Very good. Tommy Lahren, another airhead info babe, said, let's go Caitlyn Jenner for California. I'm in. Save California. And Caitlyn Jenner is going to give Greasy Gavin a run for his money. I'm here for it. We'll discuss it next on Justice on Fox News. Even James Woods comes in and talks about a three-minute infomercial that was done for Bruce Jenner. Whoever created this stunning breakout campaign commercial just made Caitlyn a viable candidate for governor of California. See, that's all you need. Just a good commercial, some money, celebrity endorsements, and you're in. You don't have to stand for anything. You know, last week you had some person said, I couldn't summarize the downfall of the GOP in any better than one photo like this. And it shows Nikki Haley standing next to Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner. Show these, Travis, on that that article. Pull that up so people can see these pictures here. And Dean Kane said, dang it, I laughed. But you know who's not laughing? People like Jack Posobiec. He says, Caitlyn is doing more to call out corrupt DAs than any elected Republican. Finally, the Columbia Bugle says, don't do it, Trump. Don't endorse Jenner. And one person says, well, here's a picture of Trump wrapping himself in the rainbow flag, LGBT for Trump. You know, the issue with all of this is the fact that going back to the father of all this intersectionality, and it just came out about a month ago. I had an individual send this to me. Michael Foucault. He is the philosopher professor who sexually abused Arab children now. Everybody knew this for a while living in Tunisia in the late 60s. One person, another French-American professor, Guy Sorman, said in an interview with the Sunday Times of London, the young children were running after Foucault to say, what about me? Take me, take me. There were 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. Foucault was throwing money at them and would say, let's meet at 10 p.m. at the usual place. And he would do it there on the gravestones with young boys. The question of consent wasn't even raised. Stating that Foucault could get away with it because of the racial element of his affair, so they chalk it up to white imperialism. But the reality is that he is so popular and could get away with it because he is modern liberalism's most influential thinker. He is the guy who laid the foundation of postmodernism. You want to know what postmodernism is? It's 2 plus 2 equals 5. It's to say that there is no truth. There is no absolute truth. That's their absolute truth, right? That there is no absolute truth. It's self-contradictory. But the idea of postmodernism is to say that we can't know the truth, that there isn't any truth. That is the foundation of critical race theory. As a clarioncauseaction.com points out, it features the rejection of the individual, of universal Western civilization, of objective reality in favor of identity groups that you rank. And this is where we are right now, folks. This postmodernism, the intersectionality, the ranking of groups. Roger Scruton, who Travis turned me on to, philosopher, said Foucault's approach reduces culture to a power game. It reduces scholarship to a kind of refereeing in an endless class struggle between the oppressed and the oppressing groups. The shift of emphasis from the content of an utterance to the power that speaks through it leads to a kind of scholarship which bypasses entirely questions of truth and rationality and can even reject those questions as themselves ideological. This is where we are. This all came to us from a poisonous pedophile. And the Republicans will push the poster child for the cutting edge of this right now, the trans agenda stuff. That's what Jenner is doing, and that's what Sean Hannity and Fox News are doing. It's absolutely reprehensible. We'll be right back with Gerald Celente.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family. All right, joining us now is Gerald Celente, and of course, listeners to my program know him very well as a regular guest. Trendsresearch.com is where you're going to find Trends Journal. It's a weekly publication. It is an encyclopedia of information, very nicely produced. He has a online magazine that is indexed, and it is laid out like an ebook. And it's got all kinds of information on all kinds of topics. Today, I want to kind of focus on some economic issues with you, Gerald. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no, it's always a great pleasure being on with you, and thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about unemployment figures before we get into inflation and the ways that the supply chains have been just completely busted over this last year. Talk a little bit about the unemployment figures because they just came out.
Yeah, well, they're way below where they had expected them to be. And so the job creation isn't going back as fast as they believed it would happen. And this is serious. You just saw gold take another big spike. Now it's back up to the 1830s mark. And everyone in the major, you know, the bankster group kept saying gold was going to, you know, hover around 1700. So it's bouncing back because inflation is here, like mm-hmm. we've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely. You got steel has tripled in price over the last year, and it is at a record price. It's quite a bit higher than it historically has been. I know it was depressed last year because you had a drop in demand, but it's as much higher than it's been. It's setting record prices now.
Well, copper is another one. Copper hit a record, and copper is very important. They call it Dr. Copper, because copper is used in everything from heavy industry to high tech. And it's an indicator of supply and demand and prices. And it's showing inflation really, really strong. So it's going to have to happen. It's very simple here. The markets have been pushed up by artificial stimulation. I call it monetary methadone, yeah. Zero interest rate policy. You know, here we are. When I was a young guy, they had this thing called savings accounts in banks, and people used to put their money in the bank and they used to get interest on it.
Yeah, it's like 0.1% now or something like that.
Not even.
And
now you know, then they used to go to Florida and retire, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole markets have been propped up by this phony money. You're looking at merger and acquisition activity at all time, you know, hitting records. All these SPACs, these phony groups, you know, that aren't making any money and people mm-hmm. are investing in them. So interest rates are going to go up. We heard Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary. And again, this is a total fraud. She's not our Treasury Secretary. She's a member of the banksters. She's the former head of the Federal Reserve,
yeah.
which has nothing to do with federal. And it's a disgusting word that they're using. But it's, again, they use it as propaganda. So here she is, the head bankster, now running our Treasury Department right in front of us. And she came out on Tuesday and said that, well, you know, inflation's going up and interest rates may go up too. And then they shut her up like that and she reversed it within like 20 seconds, you know, the whole new thing. Well, we might not raise them. When interest rates go up, this whole thing collapses.
Yes.
End of story.
Yes.
And we're going to see the greatest depression like we've never seen before.
That's right. Because a lot of people are talking about, I mean, we have a lot of individuals talking about hyperinflation. You would see the Weimar Republic bandied around in a lot of these articles making comparisons to that kind of hyperinflation. But a lot of people are pointing out stagflation because, as you mentioned, the unemployment numbers are there. People are desperate
for workers, people don't want to go back to work. Why? Because they've incentivized them to stay home, and they're making more money to stay home because of federal money. And this goes back to the Trump administration, but the Biden administration wants to continue this forever. They want to put us in the universal basic income programs that they've been talking about. And so people don't want to go back to work. You've got McDonald's offering people $50 cash just to come in for an interview, and they're not showing up. So they can't get people to go back to work. You've got now, though, people have a lot of money in their pockets, so they want to buy the stuff. Warren Buffett was saying, we don't have the goods to sell people because the supply chain is busted, but nobody else does either. So they've got the money, and they say, well, we'll just wait for it. Here's the money whenever it's there. So you've got a lot of money chasing fewer and fewer goods. What do you think is going to happen, Gerald? Is it going to be hyperinflation, stagflation? What is going to happen?
It's a combination. I call it dragflation because stagflation means it stays flat. This is going down.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
point. Going down. And there's another thing, too, is shrinkflation. So what's going to happen is all the big companies are raising the prices on everything. So instead of getting your 8-ounce box, you're going to get a 7.2-ounce box.
Oh, yeah. They've already started doing that on some things. Yeah. At Costco.
Yeah. So the prices stay, you know, they think your prices are staying the same, but you're getting less product.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you said, if you're making $15 an hour, with the government benefits now, it doesn't make sense to go to work.
That's right.
So if I was one of those people, I couldn't get a job, and I have one of these lousy jobs, you know, making, you know, stacking boxes or something, why would I go to work? Who would?
Because you got to now wear a mask in order to stack boxes, or you got to wear a mask for 8 hours to work in a restaurant. You know, why would you do that?
I know. And this whole mask stuff is totally ludicrous. You could go in a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to wear a mask when you're eating. Well, that's nice of them to tell us that. But the wait staff has to wear a mask, right?
Yeah, that's
all right. But yet, we're condemned if we're outside without a mask on when it doesn't transmit outside at all or just about nothing, according to all the data.
That's right. Yes.
So they're making this crap up, and there are a bunch of crap heads that are making it up. So where is it going? We're going into the greatest depression. And oh, by the way, this is so important. And thank you for talking about the Trends Journal. You see the work we're putting into this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we give it every ounce that we have. And what's going on in Colombia, what's going on around the world in countries, people forget this because they're not told. In 2019, there were protests and riots going on all over the world, from Algeria to Angola, to South Africa, to Colombia, to Peru, to Chile, to France, one place after another.
Right.
People in Lebanon, they were protesting against lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime, and violence.
Right.
Then what they did, these slimy, low-life pieces of garbage crap called politicians, they use the COVID war to lock down everybody. You can't protest anymore. No more protests. And they stopped them. And by the way, China was the first one to do it. They couldn't stop the Hong Kong protests until the COVID war broke out back in Lunar New Year 2020. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, happy Lunar New Year. The lunatics, and by the way, we become the Chinese way. We used to make fun of them for wearing masks.
Yes.
When they first closed down, you say, my God, look how terrible these people are. They're closing down places. And we become the Chinese.
That's right.
So anyway, the protests that are going on around the world, we're just seeing the beginning of this. The emerging markets have submerged so low, the developing nations. This thing is going down heavily. And you're going to see riots and protests around the world.
Yes.
And this is so important. There was an election in Madrid. Did you hear about that?
No. No, tell us about that.
A woman, she was totally anti-protest, anti-lockdown in Madrid. She ran Madrid. She's like the mayor of Madrid. Now they had this big election. It just ended on Tuesday. They finalized the votes. She won big time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what her one word in her campaign?
What's that?
Take a guess.
In the lockdown or freedom?
Yep.
Freedom. There you go.
You nailed it. You nailed it, Mr. Knight.
You know, that's the thing that can unite us, and I've been saying this for the longest time. Why can't we unite along the lines of liberty, right? They want to keep us divided on all these ancillary issues while they keep us locked down as slaves.
And what's the name of the rally that I'm having on May 29th? Unite for freedom.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. You know, you're talking about the riots, and over May Day weekend, you had another group of people in Brussels, Belgium, that decided they were going to hold a party. They were not May Day Marxists, but you know, they got the iron fist last week. And then in the UK, they had more people there protesting the COVID lockdowns on May Day than they did Marxists marching in the street. And they were protesting a new law in the UK that's going to outlaw any protests. It is exactly what you're saying, exactly what the Chinese did in Hong Kong.
So freedom is it. I mean, the proof is there. So I don't want to hear one word from these people that I talk to on and on. Now, what can we do? How can you stop them? Hey, stupid. A woman just won in that was totally against the odds. And All the polls showed that, oh, no, the people want the lockdowns. Oh, no, the people are afraid. No, that's all a bunch of crap. The people want freedom.
That's right.
I may get censored for saying this, and you'll never have me back on because they may take you off the air.
They've already done that.
This is America. It was about freedom, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, talking about that and the election made me think David Hathaway is a sheriff in Arizona, right at the Mexican border. And they had a sheriff that had been there for several decades, and they had a very crowded field, Gerald, of people who wanted that office because it's finally opening up. And in the discussion that they had, they went down the line and they asked him about mask mandates. And he says, well, I'm not going to mandate that for people. They can make their own decisions about what they want to do. And the press, the little local papers, came after him with a vengeance, attacking him. And he said, I had him on, interviewed him, and he said that they might have one, maybe two comments on an article. He said this article had 200, and they were basically all in his favor. And in a crowded field, he got more than 50% of the vote on the first thing through because of that. The press came after him because he was pro-freedom, and the public elected him because he was pro-freedom.
Yeah, and they're not the press. They're prostitutes.
Yeah,
they're
media
whores.
That's right.
They get paid to put out by their corporate pimps.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah. The freedom is it, man. This is the never in my lifetime have I seen a better opportunity for change in a positive way in this country with a new political party. You were talking about the Republicans before. You know, I was waiting to come on the air and the stupidity going on in California. This guy, this gruesome Newsom is going to win hands down again.
Yeah, I know. I know. Look at who they're going to put up.
Look who they're going to put up.
They're going to put up Bruce Jenner.
I mean, yeah, it's a reality show. The reality show hasn't stopped.
It is. Yeah, it's the Kardashians. Yeah. That's what this whole thing is.
That's
it's absolutely
it is. It's
insane.
Another chapter.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is now is the best time in our lives to bring America back to what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights represents. You know, where I am, as you well know, I own the most. I'm the richest man in America. I'm richer than Gates. I have the most historic Four Corners in America. It's the Four Corners of Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They're pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings. This is where over 70% of America's Constitution came from the Constitution that was written in Kingston, New York, from when this was the first capital.
Yeah.
John Jay, right over here, I'm looking at it right here. I could almost throw a rock and hit the building. The Supreme Court judge was a judge right over here when the Constitution.
Yeah.
This is the most, this is the third Dutch settlement. So I'm fighting for freedom. I'm putting every ounce of my life into this.
Yes.
And we need to unite We need to unite, and it brings in everyone. Everyone, I don't care what religion
That's
you
right.
are, what you believe in. If your God, if your belief is freedom, peace, and justice, we must unite.
That's right.
Because if we don't unite, look at the freaks that are running and ruining our lives.
And that's the thing that united people with the foundation of America. People who came here from all over the world, different cultures, different languages, different religions, and they all united on the idea that politically what we're going to do is come together to support our God-given liberties, our natural rights. And of course, Biden hates that. Biden hated that with Clarence Thomas. Biden attacked Clarence Thomas for the whole idea of natural rights, which is the foundation of our Declaration of Independence. But you know what you said, Gerald, was very key. You said that this is the best time, the best opportunity. And absolutely, I agree. I have a lot of people who will send me letters. I just had a guy say, you know, I had to just take a break because the real news is just too depressing to see what is happening here. Well, we have to clearly look at what the situation is before we can really do anything about it. We have to understand globally what it is. You know, the liberals used to say think globally, act locally. We need to understand what the globalists want to do. We need to act locally to make sure that it happens. But as you're talking about this, because we've been kept under their thumb for a year, because things are getting so bad, it is an opportunity for us. You know, it was Chris Christopherson who said, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Once we get to this point, and hopefully it won't get so far down that we can't do something about it, but once people understand what is happening, they have to stand up. They have to want freedom badly enough to stand up for it. And losing it, losing whatever it is that you had, sometimes if, you know, things come together, that can be the galvanizing moment for two people to take it back. So I absolutely agree with you. That is the hope that we have, the political hope that we have. Of course, my hope is in Christ, but in terms of politics, the liberty aspect of this, that people are going to wake up to this, that is the key thing, I think.
And again, the facts are there. What just happened in Madrid.
Yes.
It's right there.
Yes.
This woman defied. She did not lock down Madrid. They went after her continually. Didn't have a shot. And she wiped everybody out. The people want freedom.
That's right. Yeah, if you go back and you look at what they were identifying as populist movements, as Trump movements and things like that, people understood that the liberals, that the people like Foucault that I was talking about, that they were coming for the foundations of their society, the foundations of their culture. They were trying to overturn it. And that's what they were pushing back against. Now it has escalated in this last year. The attacks on our culture, on middle class, on everything that we have, it has now escalated. And so that's really where this was all, what this was all about anyway. It really wasn't about xenophobia and racism as the left liked to portray it. It was about preserving the society that had produced liberty, that had produced a kind of wealth for us that we had not seen before. It was about preserving that issue. And now that is really accelerated. So we're at a point where all these forces are coming together just as they always thought they would for the fourth turning.
Yep. Oh, by the way, with all due respect, they're not liberals.
That's right. They're not. They're not. They grab that. They always steal those terms, don't they?
Yeah, they're not liberals. A liberal is a person that you could be anybody you want to be.
That's right.
You respect who you want to be.
That's right.
These aren't. They're libtards.
Yeah, yeah. They're authoritarian. They're Marxists. I love the way, Gerald, that they've got us wearing red MAGA caps and calling ourselves red states. I mean, red has always been these guys' colors. I mean, on May Day, you had the Antifa people marching around Austin with red flags and hammering sickles on them. They always were red, but they can call themselves liberal and they can call us red and we'll go, oh, okay, fine. We'll play along with your terms.
Yeah. But again, you know, we're going into, back to the economy, we're going into a position unprecedented in world history. Again, you know, we were the first to say in the magazine that major cities would empty out big time and people would be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happened. Now, the numbers are coming out. In New York City, the office occupancy rate, you ready? 16%.
Wow. Wow.
You realize all the businesses have been destroyed?
Yeah.
All the commuters that they used to rely on? Gone.
Right.
Gone. Yeah. You put your whole lifetime into building this business and it's gone. Now, a Google came out and said that 20% of the people could work anywhere they want. They could move away. 20% could work at home. So now we have 60% coming back to work. Out of that 60%, they could work at home or anywhere they want 2 or 3 days a week. What does that mean to commuters? It means that it's the end of people going to work every day. That's just the example that I'm using with Google. You're going to maybe their office occupancy rate, you know, they'll go back to the office maybe 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
The city, the commercial real estate was overbuilt before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's going down big.
Oh, yeah.
And the bigs are going to go down big. You just heard Jamie Dimon, the guy, the gangster with the banksters over there. And again, I will call this Tim to his face. He's a crook and he's a slimy piece of crap for what they did for rigging the precious metals market. And they got fined a measly $900 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Back in 2020. So that's not ancient history. They're criminals.
Yeah. It's like HSBC, you know, with their massive money laundering campaign. They got like a $2 billion fine, and it was just a tiny fraction of what they'd made in terms of profits. These people get away with murder. Johnson & Johnson with the opioid epidemic, right? And Sackler, Purdue, they create this plague, and yet they get a little wrist slapping, and then they get massive funding from the government to create a toxic vaccine.
So he comes out and says that, oh, they're going to have everybody back to work. Now they're all pushing, the banksters are pushing for everybody to come back to work. You know why? Because all these big real estate moguls are going down the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The hotel occupancy rates. Midtown is dead town in New York. Dead, dead, dead. Oh, you can't walk down the street without, hey, man, hey, you got money, hey, hey. Yeah, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Coming up to you. Yeah. You're looking around, man. So they're trying to convince everybody to go back to work. They know it ain't going to happen. They got all this debt piled on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This thing's going down big in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything's been concentrated among the bigs.
That's right. And I think, Gerald, I think that the biggest of the bigs want to see this happen. You know, Bloomberg was talking when everybody got upset about him about the farmers, and he's trash-talking farmers. He wasn't just, he was talking about farmers, and he talked about factory workers, and he said, yeah, you know, we had the agrarian society, then we had the industrialized society, but now, those of us who are smart like me, we're working on how to take everybody's jobs, and we just That's need right. to figure out how we're going to pacify them so they don't grab the guillotines. That's what he said, and come after us. And so that's what universal basic income is about. You've got stories that are going up on the Drudge Report. See fewer people, take fewer showers. I mean, they're selling this kind of slovenly lifestyle because they want people to be slaves, you know? And it's like, oh, look, it'd be great. You don't have to take a shower. They got this long story about this woman. She doesn't take a shower until her young kids tell her she stinks. I mean, this is the kind of society they're modeling for people. You don't want to go to work. You'd have to take a shower and everything.
Oh, look what society looks like. Look at the obesity rate.
Yeah.
42%. You know, I was out and the other day and I stopped for a light, long light. I counted 22 cars online going through Popeyes.
Yeah, that's right.
You're eating that stuff?
Yeah.
You're grown up yet? Yeah, when you're a kid, okay, you know. Yeah, grow the hell up, you know. But anyway, going back to this whole thing and where it's going and about the bigs, it's a total takeover.
Mm-hmm.
The bigs are owning everything. Well, they got only $8 trillion richer, the billionaires in 2020. As the rest of the people went down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the amount of money that Amazon is making. It's about three times, per hour. It's about three times what Jeff Bezos paid for the Washington Post when he paid cash for it. I mean, these guys, the amount of money and power that they have is truly amazing. And yet, let's talk a little bit about taxes. Biden thinks that he can get $700 billion by, you know, ramping the screws down on IRS audits. And some people are saying, the most I think he's going to get is 460. Even if he got 700, that doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I mean, he's going to spend another $6 trillion. They said, we got a $22 trillion cumulative debt. We got a debt ceiling of $28 trillion. He's going to exceed that. So Janet Yellen says, well, we'll just have to get Congress to raise the ceiling level on it. I mean, they're talking about another $6 trillion worth of debt, and he's going to go to war with people over $0.7 trillion worth of debt. I mean, it's ludicrous, but it's his authoritarian plan, isn't it?
Yeah, because with the IRS, they go after the little people.
That's
big
right.
ones get around the deal.
That's right. They're not going to go after the big guys. The big guys are getting them to write the laws for them.
Yeah. And so, matter of fact, Neil Pacifico, who does a lot of our economic research, we're coming out with an article next week on how Biden's tax plan really hits the middle class and the lower middle class when you really get down into it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
We're going to have that in the magazine next week. Mm-hmm. So going back to also this spike in gold that just happened is a big one. It's very important because inflation is going to go. It costs now $36,000 just to in lumber to build an average home.
That's right.
Just in lumber, $36,000 more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, added 10% to the median price of a home just with the lumber.
Just for the lumber.
Yeah. Not counting the copper, as you pointed out before, and many other raw materials, or the labor, you know, having to pay people more to get them out of their homes to go back to work.
And then the other part of it is the housing, cost of housing has gone up 17.2% from March 2020 to March 2021. Mm. That's not added into the consumer price index.
Of course not.
No.
Yeah, your higher rent, that's not an issue there.
That doesn't count. No, that counts.
We're talking about property, and you and I have talked about this before, the idea, and this happened back under the Trump administration, the CDC said, well, we're going to exercise our authority over evictions and foreclosures because if somebody loses their home and they're homeless, then it's going to go sky high. And you pointed out, yeah, look, I don't see any homeless people wearing masks, and they're not dropping like flies out here. But they have now lost, Gerald, four times at local court. They just lost again this week when people challenged the CDC's authority. They've lost four times and then once at an appeal level. But they're continuing on with this, and they're rolling out new rules from the Consumer Financial Protection Board that was created by Elizabeth Warren to tell landlords they got to give paperwork saying that they have this authority to stop the foreclosures, even though they are 0-5 on all these court challenges.
I know. And then when that runs out, by the way, it's going to end at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a homeless boom. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah. And it's going to come after the middle class. Again, 45% of these landlords are small owners.
Yep.
You have a very, very high percentage of them are minorities, and they don't care about any of that because they're coming after the middle class. What they're doing is they're creating a balloon note of debt for the middle class with this moratorium. It's not about helping anybody. Nope. This is about creating a balloon note of debt, which at some point they're going to pull off, and then that whole thing is going to come crashing down.
Yep. No, you hit it. No, this is sad. And again, that's why we have to unite. We're talking about the billionaires. Oh, Pfizer, by the way, they gave Trump, Biden, Greenberg, Iceberg. What's the difference?
Yeah.
The whole system to me is.
Yeah.
Pfizer gave Biden $1 million his inauguration campaign. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And now they're upset because Biden is talking about getting rid of their patents. I was talking about that earlier. I said, you know, Trump made a Faucian bargain with these people, like, you know, the Faucian bargain. Made a Faucian bargain. Says, all right, I'll give you everything you need to run these vaccines through without any testing. So maybe we can open up and I can win the election. And they screwed him on that. And then you got Pfizer out there working with these vaccines. And now Biden took their money. And now he's going to do the Faucian move on them as well and say, yeah, we're going to take away your patent and some of this stuff. And they're furious about that. I mean,
well, actually, from what I've read, BioNTech, the German company.
Yeah.
They were given over almost $500 million to develop this. And all Pfizer did was put their label on it.
Ah, okay.
And number two, that, what is it, that, you know, the MR3, whatever, what are those initials for this?
mRNA. Yeah.
Yeah. That was done by the health something something of federal. The United States did that.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
paid for that.
Yeah,
we
NIH and Fauci was allied with Moderna. Moderna, NIH. That's what they've been doing for the last 10 years. They couldn't get any products approved, and nobody else wanted to use that. You know, there's an interesting thing that just came out. I talked about earlier today, Gerald. You should put it in Trends Journal. The Salk Institute. You know, we all know Jonas Salk, right? They got money from the NIH, and people said, hey, it looks like the spike itself, you know, when they give you the mRNA, it makes your body manufacture the spike. They said the spike itself is causing lung damage and causing vascular damage, causing heart attacks. And they actually went through and did an experiment and proved it. They put in like an empty shell and put the spike around it. So it had nothing other than the spikes, and they could observe that in animals. So they're actually injecting people to make them produce this spike, which is producing lung damage and heart attacks in people. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, they've
amazing.
Proven it.
And I have to tell you, I have very dear friends that are getting the vaccinations that are totally opposed to it because they won't have any business.
Yeah. Oh, it's a shame. Yeah, yesterday I had a letter from a guy who had, for 20 years, had had a poker game. They shut it down last year because the other people were afraid. They're in New York City. They're liberals. But now they're starting to come back out again, but they demand that everybody in the group have a vaccine. He said, I'm not going to get it. If your vaccine protects you, you're fine. They said, all right, well, and it turned into an argument. They pushed him out. And when I put that video up yesterday, I had comment after comment after comment of people saying the same thing about different different card-playing groups or different associations that they were involved in, or even their own family. This whole idea of vaccine mandates is a lot more pernicious than we even understood. It's not just limited to businesses demanding that their employees get it or demanding that you're going to have it as a customer to come into their shop. It's dividing people who were friends in groups. Families, members are dividing over this thing.
I have a friend, a very dear friend, the last time he got a vaccination was in 1955 with polio. And he's in the healthcare sector. And the patients call up and ask if the doctor has been vaccinated.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
And so he got vaccinated because he'll go out of business.
Wow.
And another friend's a salon business. People calling up, did you get vaccinated? I won't come unless you got vaccinated. And he got vaccinated. There's no way in the world I'll get vaccinated. There's no way in the world. No way in the world. No way in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about it after I talked about that guy's letter about his poker club. I should have said yesterday, it's a perfect opportunity for him to try out his poker face. Yeah, I've been vaccinated. How about you? sure, I have. As far as you know, I have, yeah.
Yeah, Germany just passed. They're pushing through the vaccine passport now. Mm. Yeah. All of Europe, they're working on it, the whole EU. Mm. And with Seychelles, that island out there, they're the most vaccinated place in the world. And now the cases are spiking again.
That's right, Seychelles.
Yeah, over 62% vaccination rate.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, you look at this and you talk about the cases. I mean, are these people sick? Because even if they aren't sick from the spike, and remember, the spike is the, according to the Salk Institute and the NIH-funded research at the Salk Institute, the spike is the thing, and that's what they're having reproduced in you. But even if that isn't making you sick, they are going to give that to you. Your body is going to start reproducing it. And then you take a PCR test that magnifies any viral debris by a factor of a trillion. Of course, they're going to have cases spiking, even if the people are not getting sick.
And then if you look at the global numbers on the amount of cases, and we know the case numbers are phony because, you know, the PCR, they don't count.
Yeah. That's right.
The facts are there that they're inaccurate. The guy that invented the test said it doesn't work. But anyway, if you look at even at those numbers globally, you got like, what, 2.36 million people dead over a 16-month period. That's nothing out of 8 billion, almost 8 billion people.
Right.
And then when you look at the case rate, the recovery rate is still 98%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why, you, if you have a 2%, you know, I was thinking maybe winning the lotto is a better shot than getting the virus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, they're bribing people with lotteries to take the virus. You've got a city in California offering kids a $10,000 scholarship in a raffle if they're 16 to 18 years old. And these are people who don't understand risk, don't understand probability, and they don't understand that there's really not anything of any value in that scholarship in the first place. Right?
Yeah. No, they're giving a $100 bond to kids in West Virginia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
In West Virginia.
Savings bond. Boy, that's a great investment, isn't it, Gerald?
Yeah. And this is like the second poorest state in the country.
Yeah.
By the way, I went to school in West Virginia. I was there for 6 years.
Really?
Yeah, greaser from the Bronx in Charleston, West Virginia, 1965. Well, the people were really kind, really, really nice, kind people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I, you know, was out of my mind, though, to say the least back then. But what a trip that was. I went down there. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. The reason I went there, it was the only school I could get into in college. I barely got out of high school. I got left back in the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I hated every day. I ran away from kindergarten at 4.5 years old. I crossed the Boston Post Road in the Bronx, which was the major artery, Boston Post Road, between mm-hmm. Boston and New York before they had the highways. I ran away, and they took me out of kindergarten because they knew I'd be dead. Now they'd have me shot up with drugs. But anyway,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Ritalin, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, the draft was going on. And I wasn't smart enough. This is the Vietnam War. I wasn't smart enough to be against the war. I even voted for Richard Nixon.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1968. But anyway, I go to my father, may he rest in peace. I said, Pop, what should I do? I said, they're drafting everybody. I couldn't imagine me, this little guy. I'm watching these guys walking through water with guns over their head in Vietnam with all this weight on their back and getting shot at. I couldn't imagine myself being there.
Yeah.
It was as simple as that. So anyway, the only school I could get into was Morris Harvey College in Charleston, West Virginia. I go to my father, I said, Pop, what should I do? He said, listen, he said, I got my own problems. I taught you enough, you figure it out. And I knew a guy that was dumber than me in school that got into this place. So anyway, ended up going 4 years there. Now it's the University of Charleston. And then I went to WVU and I got my master's in public administration, West Virginia University.
That's great. You had a close call. Yeah, I had a lot of people. I was, just as I was graduating from high school, they ended the war. But I had already seen, by that point in time, we'd already seen that they had no intention of winning that war. They were just using people as cannon fodder. They would go in and they win a battle, and then they'd just walk out and turn it back over to the enemy. I mean, it was just the most cynical thing that I'd ever seen. And so that was already known by that point in time. And it was right before... before they ended that. But now every war's been like that, hasn't it?
Well, look, but think about it. Why did we go to war?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. And now, by the way, those lousy Vietnamese commies, they're still communists, aren't they? But no. How much trade is the United States? How much stuff are we buying from Vietnam?
That's right.
And how about those Chinese? Because that was it. If Vietnam goes China, then all of Vietnam goes communist, it will let them happen, then all of Asia will go communist.
That's right.
Oh, and
the domino theory.
You're right. And now China, they took away all our jobs, 3.5 million of them. But it's okay to do business with the commie Chinese. But yet they send us to war? We have sick people that have been running this government for too long. To me, that's why they killed Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want the Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you ever see McNamara? It was a film called Fog of War. It was done by Errol Morris. I would recommend that to anybody listening if you haven't seen that. But he got Robert McNamara dialoguing, or just not dialoguing, but monologuing, really, for a couple of days, talking about that experience. And at one point, McNamara said, yeah, I went back decades after, met with some of the people that we'd been fighting, and they were now running the country. And the guy pounded the table, and he said, domino theory? There was never a domino theory. Don't you know anything about history? We were enemies of the Chinese for over 1,000 years, and we're still enemies with the Chinese. And he's like, yeah, Robert McNamara, like, who knew? He knew. He knew. He absolutely knew.
Yeah. Well, they're murderers. Yeah. They're murderers. Absolutely. May they rot in hell for what they've done.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the time we've got, because I've got to take a, I've got to cut it because we've got to switch over. We've got a radio broadcast that we started this week, Gerald, KHNC in Colorado, Northern Colorado, used to carry me, and I'm back on there for an hour, and that begins at the top of the hour. But it's great to have you back. Thank you so much for coming today, and look forward to having you on again. And tell people where they can find out information about the Memorial Day event that you're sponsoring.
Go to OccupyPeace.com. Okay. OccupyPeace.com.
That's easy enough to remember.
Yeah, and the million billionaires do it because they give money. So donate, because if we all donate, we can't do this without money. We can't do it alone. Give what you can.
Yes.
Give with your heart. We're fighting. You know, I'm out there. I was the first guy to have that rally when nobody wanted last year.
That's right.
And the hate that I got for it. So I'm fighting.
Good.
So thank you very much.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Gerald Celente. TrendsResearch.com, where you can find the excellent Trends Journal. And that's it for our broadcast today, folks. If you want to catch us, the website for KHNC, if you want to catch it live, is 1360KHNC.com. But we're also putting up the radio broadcast without commercials. We put it up on all the video channels as well as all the podcast channels later in the day. And maybe it's a little bit confusing because we've now got the podcast that goes up as before. And then we have a second podcast that goes up that is the radio broadcast. We try to keep the information different so they don't overlap too much. Thank you so much for listening.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country, as well as our family.